feet. And as Brother Ross said there, he and I, we go back for a number of years. He had visited us when we were in the Philippines. And it's a true joy to drive Brother Ross around on the Philippine traffic because he gets a little bit excited, amen? And so it was a great blessing, a great joy to be able to have him there in our home there in the Philippines. And then we were a member of the church that he pastored up in Xenia, Ohio for a period of time. And I remember there was one time Brother Ross and I, we were out door knocking. I guess it'd be okay to take my jacket off, won't it?
Right.
Okay, thank you, thank you. We were up there door knocking, and we were in an apartment complex, and lo and behold, we had knocked on a door, and we were there knocking on the door, and we just heard a voice from inside. They said, "Come on in." And so we just walked right on in, just ready to go and raring to go, and we walked in there, and they had a pile of drugs and a pile of cash there on the table. And they looked at us, and we looked at them, amen. And I was going to tell Brother Ross, "You handle this one, amen." But at any rate, we just kind of turned a blind eye to everything and we just said, "Hey, we're just out here inviting people out to church." I think they were as glad when we left as we were, amen. So, but it was a precious memory, a strange memory of sorts, but at any rate, it was a memory that we had there. Go ahead and stand with me this evening, if you would, and we will go to the Lord in prayer. Be making your ways as you stand to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter number 22 in verse number 1. The Bible says there in Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 1. The Bible says there, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." I'd like for us to focus this evening for the first part of the sermon on that first phrase there, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we approach thy throne of grace in prayer this evening, Lord, we certainly realize the weakness, Father, that we have in our flesh. Father, even as thou said in thy word that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And Father in heaven, apart from the unction from on high, Father, apart from the empowering of thy Spirit, Lord God, there will be nothing good that will be said or done here this evening that will come from me at least. But Father, I pray and I ask thee this evening that thou would take and help us, Lord God, to gird up the loins of our minds. Father, we realize that it seems that we live in such a hectic and fast-paced life. And Lord, with so many things going on all around us, Father, I pray for the next little bit that thou would help us, Father in heaven, just to be able to focus upon thee and upon thy word. Lord God, I pray that thy Spirit would move and work here in the midst of this assembly. Father, I pray, Lord God, and I ask of thee that thou would deliver us just from that attitude that we will come together and then go home basically the same as we were when we arrived. Father, I pray that as we look into thy perfect word that we would leave here a changed people, Lord. Father, we pray for any who are here this evening that are lost. We pray, Lord God, for their salvation, that thou would quicken them, save them, Lord God, make them aware of their sins, and Father, call them unto thee. We love thee, and we pray and ask these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of the message is this evening is "The Mighty Power of a Good Testimony for the Glory of God." What exactly is our text there? It says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. What exactly, beloved, would you say is a good name? When we think about this, as the Bible says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, what exactly would you say is a good name? We realize that it's certainly not anything like Walters or Sebastian or Owens or McGillicuddy. We haven't got on anyone's toes there, have we? Are we clean there? Amen. It's not necessarily in the family name. And it's not that these are not good names, but this is not what the Bible is talking about. Typically, there will be something associated with a name of the people we are familiar with. Ben, maybe you can help me out a little bit this evening. First of all, with regards to Bible names, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about Noah? The very first thing that jumps right there. Noah's Ark. Amen. You did good. Amen. When we think about the name David, what comes to our mind when we think about King David? Goliath, we think it would be Goliath, that's the very first thing that comes to my mind. What about Jonah?
The great fish,
the whale. What about the individual Judas? Traitor. That's exactly. Those are the things that come to my mind as well. And sorry about this for the ladies, but what about Rahab? A harlot. Once again, those are just the things that come to our mind. Jezebel. Wickedness, absolutely. Now, once again, if we were to think then of more modern names, certainly mean not that we're endorsing or condoning these people. Some of them are at least that. What do we think about when we think of Schwarzenegger? Big, muscular, that's right. Think of muscles. What about Nixon? Getting dangerous now. It's getting dangerous now. When we think about Nixon, maybe we think about the Watergate happenings that are taking place. What about Capone? Mafia. What about the Hatfields and McCoys? Huge, absolutely. I mean, in other words, beloved, those things, they come to our mind and they stick with us. I don't know about you folks, but I hadn't heard or thought about Nixon for a number of years. I hadn't heard or thought about the Hatfields and McCoys for a number of years. But yet those things, they just stick in our mind. There's something about name association there, and it just sticks in our mind. Now, typically, in order for us to have a mental association with at least one of the following must be true. In other words, if there's something about a name that sticks out in our mind, then there has to be one or the other of these things that must be true of the case. It is either someone whose life you have studied or at least heard of. In other words, in order for us to have a name association with the Hatfields and McCoys, I would have had to have heard of the Hatfields and McCoys, obviously. Or it has to be someone who has lived during your lifetime that you have heard of personally. Now, as we consider these things, beloved, when we think about names and name association, by show of hands, and this will reveal some of your age here this evening, how many of you ever heard the term, I like Ike? A few. I get my wife on this. She was well aware of his campaign. For the younger folks here, that was a presidential leader. I always encourage you, Brother Ross. Amen. But it was a presidential leader, a man who had he had run for president in 1950 to 1952. That was 12 years before my time. But even though he was born before I lived, I knew something about his name simply because of that motto and his name being in it. Now that we've revealed some of our ages, do we realize the power that a name has as far as taking hold of our memory? In other words, there's something there that will truly impact us with regards to our memory, beloved, when it comes to those things. Your name will outlast you. For the good or the bad, your name will outlast you. We all realize that, beloved. Your name will be established by the things that you say and do while you are yet living. In other words, beloved, I don't believe when I die that I'm going to be remembered for a full thick head of hair. I mean, I wouldn't think so. Do you think so, Brother Ross? Definitely not. Amen. That's my friend and brother there. In other words, beloved, our names, they will be established by the things that we say and do while we're yet living. If my family name was Hitler, I would not name my son Adolf ever. No matter what, beloved. Once again, why is that? It's because of the association. By the thing which you know of people, beloved, their name and their testimony, it is established in one way or another. Now look on back with me to your Bibles in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I pray that the Lord would provide light for His Word for us this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Beginning there in verse number 1, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse number 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now, beloved, as the Apostle Paul points out here, we see here that the members of this church, they had a good name. In other words, as Paul is here praying for them, that is readily evident there, readily apparent in the fact that they had a good name where he says there in verse number 3, remembering without ceasing. In other words, once again, just that, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. The people here in the church at Thessalonica, they had a name that they abounded in works of faith, if you will. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Beloved, we see the members of this church that they had a good name, not just in Paul's sight, but remember the omniscient Spirit of God is the one inspiring these words to have been penned down here. Remember also what we had mentioned earlier, that our name or our testimony, it will be established by what we say and do. Now the Bible tells us, all therefore whatsoever they bid you with regards to the scribes and Pharisees, that observe and do not, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. In other words, in our minds, beloved, once again, when we hear of the scribes and Pharisees, what comes to our minds when we think of them? Hypocrites. That's the very first thing that comes to my mind. All the way from them. I never knew any of them personally, obviously. I never even knew any of their personal names. But the one thing that has outlived them now for hundreds and hundreds of years is the fact that they were hypocrites in the way that they lived their lives. To say and do not makes you a hypocrite according to the Lord Jesus Christ. This was not the case with the church there at Thessalonica. There, once again, in verse number 3, the Bible tells us explicitly about their work of faith, their labor of love, and patience of hope in Christ. They were actively and faithfully showing their faith by their works. In other words, beloved, one week would consider it. We'd be able to say, you know what? We know about their works. We know about their work of faith. The news of that, it's traveled around. They were actively, beloved, living out their profession of faith. They had a good name because of what they said and what they were doing. They had a good name because of that. Now there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 5 then, the Bible says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Now, beloved, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, they had now traveled to this church, and the people had seen firsthand. In other words, they had heard about the Apostle Paul with a hearing of ear earlier, but now they have traveled to this church, and the Apostle Paul is saying there, "For our gospel came unto you, for our gospel came not unto you in word only." You see, beloved, there's multitudes of people all around this world, and the gospel has come unto them in word only. In other words, they profess that they know Christ, but in works they deny Him. Well, as the Apostle Paul says there, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." In other words, it wasn't just hearsay, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, beloved, when we think about these things, this church and the people have seen firsthand now what Paul and his companions were actually like. In other words, when they actually laid eyes on Paul and his companions, they said, "You know what? Now we see what you're like. We have heard all about you before, but now that you have had your ministry right here in the midst of our assembly, we now see what kind of man that you are." The good name, the testimony of Paul, it was ever more so established before their very eyes. Now there in verse number 6, the Bible says, "After they had seen these things," the Bible says, "and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." You see, beloved, once again, the good name and the testimony of Paul, it was even more so evident in their sight. In the Bible, the very first word there in verse number 6, "and ye became followers of us." In other words, beloved, when the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and He uses that Word in the midst of an assembly, it causes people to be moving in the same direction. Amen. Now they're all headed in the same direction. They're now following the Apostle Paul, following his companions there. Those in Thessalonica are saying there, now there's an example we can follow. In other words, we have heard about the Apostle Paul. We have heard about all of these things about him, the night and the day that he spent in the deep. We have heard about the beatings that he's gotten. We have heard of all that the Apostle Paul has gone through. And man, I'll tell you what, based on the stories, it seems almost too good to be true. I mean, it seemed like people were exaggerating his life. But you see, beloved, what ended up happening then is when the Apostle Paul had showed up there on the scene in the midst of the church of Thessalonica, the people are now saying, man, what we have heard about you, it's really true. It's real. It's not that Paul is an arrogant man puffing himself up by any stretch of the imagination, but the people there now, they say there, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Beloved, they're all now moving in the same direction. Once again, as they see his example, they say, now there's someone that we can follow. There's someone that we can pattern our lives after. You know, beloved, one thing that's lacking, I don't know what time you all dismiss. I think you said 10:30, brother? Okay, thank you, brother. One thing that is lacking, you know, when I was a boy, and I may get in trouble with this, when I was a boy, it used to be that people like John Wayne, that they were held up as examples. I'm not saying as Christian examples by any stretch of the imagination. But when I was a boy, they had manly men that were set up for examples for other young men to follow. What do we have now in our day and age? Where are we left at now? Beloved, there aren't many examples left for young people to be able to follow with regards to those things. But once again, it didn't stop there. The Bible says, in verse number 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. In other words, beloved, they had received the word and it was in much affliction. Beloved, so much of what passes for Christianity today, it is a matter of people coming down front and they sign a commitment card. And lo and behold, when they become a member of one of the Lord's churches, maybe the president of the bank is also a member there at that church, and then the car dealer, he's also a member of the church. And lo and behold, now people today say, you know what? We want to become Christians, so we'll be plugged into the social pipeline. You know what, boy, if we join our membership up at this church, we go forward here and make a profession of faith. You know what, when we need a loan from the bank, we're hooked up. That guy sits right in front of me at church. You know what, whenever I get a new suit of clothes and lo and behold, I want to go around and show it off, I become a member of this church and now I have a place to go show my new fancy duds off to everybody. Beloved, such was not the case back during Bible times. During Bible times, when people would become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, life was not a bed of roses, but as the Bible says there, having received the word in much affliction, and yet with joy of the Holy Ghost. But once again, it doesn't stop there. In verse number 7, it goes on to say, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now, beloved, think with me about this and follow along closely. I know we'll be eating here directly, but follow along closely. They heard about the example of the Apostle Paul. They had heard about it. He came and he spent time in the midst of this church. And after they had actually seen his testimony, after they had actually seen his good name being put on display, beloved, it has impacted the people here in the church of Thessalonica. And the Bible says, after they had seen this, after they had actually seen it with their own eyes, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. In other words, beloved, now those in Macedonia and Achaia, they have heard the good name, the testimony of the believers in Thessalonica, and they were energized and fired up. In other words, they say, you know, I can't believe what's taking place in the church there in Thessalonica. Now, Macedonia would have been 233 kilometers north of Thessalonica. 233 kilometers. It would have also been, Achaia would have been 320 kilometers to the south of Thessalonica. But news of the vivacious faith in this church is spreading like wildfire. I mean, hundreds of miles away, people hearing about what's going on in this church. And it's not a bunch of whoop-de-doo. It's not a new Super Bowl Sunday that they're having. It's not anything whatsoever like that. But beloved, it is news of what God is doing in the midst of this assembly. And when other people hear this, they're being fired up. They're energized with regards to those things. Hundreds of miles. But it didn't stop there. Look with me there at verse number 8. The Bible says, "For from you..." Who is that there? The church at Thessalonica. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything." Now, beloved, there's something I believe that is somewhat worldly and it's somewhat a modernistic thing. For a while, they would call it lifestyle evangelism. In other words, well, you never have to tell anyone about the gospel. You just let them look at your life and you never have to preach the gospel to anyone. I disagree with that firmly. I believe that our lives ought to back up our examples, obviously. But what Paul is telling the people here, as the Bible says there in verse number 8, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." In other words, beloved, because of what was taking place here in this church, it wasn't that they were having a petting zoo on Sundays. That's not the news that was traveling around. It wasn't because of what they do on Super Bowl Sundays. That's not what was traveling around. It wasn't because they were having raffles within the church. That's not what was traveling around. But as he says, "Therefore, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything." Now think with me about this. It's almost, we do not want to add to the Scripture in any manner whatsoever, but it's almost as if the Apostle Paul is there saying, you know what, we had a mission trip planned to go up there and speak to the people in this one certain place, but you know what, when news of what is taking place here among the members, when that news traveled abroad, you know what, we don't have to speak anything up there anymore. Because of what's taking place in this church and in your life, it's traveling around. The news is out now. The news of the vivacious faith in this church, it's spreading like wildfire for hundreds of miles. And Paul's there saying, we had some trips planned. But the truth is that now, we no longer need to go. News of your name, your testimony, it has already gone before us. Beloved, they're fired up and rejoicing in what God has done and is doing there in the midst of those people. We need not speak anything. Now, what was it then that was heard? We have already picked on a little bit, no petting zoos or anything like that. But what was the news that was traveling around about this church? I hate to admit it, being a Baptist preacher, pastor of a Baptist church. But boy, I'll tell you what, good news travels fast, amen. Bad news travels twice as fast. Does it not? But as we think about these things, beloved, Paul is there saying, we need not speak anything. Because the news of how you have turned to God and how you have destroyed your idols and how you're now faithfully serving Him and patiently waiting for the return of Christ while you serve. Beloved, do we see the mighty power of God and a good testimony for His glory? In other words, as the people hear these things, they're excited about it. Four of the apostles, beloved, when we think about a good name is rather to be chosen, the mighty power of a good testimony, once again for the glory of God, four of the apostles were part owners in their father's fishing business. And they left it all and followed Christ. Part owners in their father's fishing business. And you know what, beloved? It would have taken something to have walked away from those things. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He approached them one day, He's going by them, He said, He calls them, said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And lo and behold, the Bible says that they left their nets and they followed Him. In other words, they just walked away from their livelihood. And they said, you know what? We're going to depend upon Christ. He is the one that's called us and we're going to fully depend upon Him to meet all of our needs. Not that they're lazy by any stretch of the imagination, but beloved, they walked away from it. The individual Matthew, he was a tax collector. He was a wealthy man. He could have been financially set for life.
And he walked away from all of it to follow Christ.
The individual Zacchaeus, beloved, he had said, I restore all the money that I've wrongly taken. I'm going to make things right. And Zacchaeus, beloved, he had a change of heart. Barnabas was an individual. He was a wealthy landowner, and he sold the land and gave all the proceeds to the church, beloved. Think with me about the news of what these men had done there. In the way that news of their faith that it had traveled around, beloved. Now, when we consider these things, the Bible says there, look with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19. The Bible says there in Acts chapter number 19, beginning in verse number 18, the Bible says there, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Now we realize that the gospel had been preached here, and the Bible tells us the effects, the results of the gospel, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. You know, beloved, one thing that is really missing, I can't speak to the churches up here because I'm not intimately familiar with the churches up here in this area, but the churches that I'm relatively familiar with, you know, the amazing thing about it is that there are many people who they want to be secret disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to take and say, yeah, we're followers of Christ, but we certainly wouldn't want that news to get out, you know. We certainly wouldn't want that news to spread abroad. But the Bible says there, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Beloved, let me ask you folks something. And maybe you do. I don't want anyone to think, boy, Brother Spears here picking on us. I'm not here to pick on anyone, beloved. But wonder why it is that we do not see much public confession anymore in our day. And I don't want anyone to be like, well, they must have a lot of it at Bryan Station. We have a terrible shortage of it at Bryan Station. And I preach hard on it. But honestly, beloved, think with me in your heart, why is it that we seldom ever see public confessions today? I'm not talking about a public stoning or a whipping post here at the front. But I'm asking the question, beloved, why is it that we seldom see people coming before the Lord's churches anymore, weeping and confessing their sin? And maybe you all have it, and if you do, let me in on your secret. But beloved, I don't know, obviously, about all churches, but I know in our home church, we don't have that very much. Practically never. You think it's because people are just so godly today that there's nothing else to confess? Could that be what it is? Maybe people have just grown to be so sanctified that they have nothing else to confess. Beloved, I don't believe that to be the case. But why is it that it seemed like, beloved, that we will have service after service? And for me as a pastor, honestly, it can get discouraging at times. Now, I'm not here to cry on your shoulder or gossip against our church. I love our church. They've put up with me now for a number of years, and thank the Lord for it. But, beloved, with regards to Christians in general today, it seems like that there's not much public confession that takes place. And as the Bible says there, and many that believed came, they confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, they brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now notice there in verse number 20, the Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Beloved, one of the greatest burdens that I have on my heart today for the church that I pastor, for other churches that I hear about, is that so oftentimes there may be things that we have in our lives, and lo and behold, we'll take and say, well, I trust none of us have books on witchcraft, But I believe so oftentimes that there will be things that we have in our lives, and we may, this can typify it, we'll have this thing. Well, I know that really should not be there, but you know what? I'm just going to hold on to it for a while. I'll just hold on to it a little bit longer. And lo and behold, maybe someone else comes forward, they confess something, but we'll sit there and say, well, boy, not me, I'm not going to move. And lo and behold, then when I sit here and I hold on to my sin of whatever sort it is, this brother, he looks around and he says, well, you know what? No one else is moving. I mean, I would feel somewhat foolish if I went forward and confessed my sin before men. I would feel foolish if I were to do that because no one else is doing it. And as a result, we will all sit back and we will hold on to these things ever so tightly. And beloved, the worst part about it is so oftentimes, oh, forgive me, I don't know the situation of the church here, and I mean that with the Lord as my witness, but so oftentimes, beloved, church members, they will carry these things into the building with them, they will sit through the service with them, and when the service is over, they will walk right back out the door carrying them. And they do that week after week after week after week. Are there no more sins to confess? Has public confession, I mean, is the Bible just a little bit outdated? Have we outgrown the Scriptures, beloved, that it's just no longer needed, public confession? We have not outgrown the Scriptures, beloved. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But that last, the next verse there is what I want you to see. The Bible says, after these things had taken place, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Beloved, I like to preach happy messages. I like for people to smile when they're done. But to be honest, a great concern that I have on my heart is that it seemed like that we do not see much of a mighty growing of the Word of God or a prevailing of the Word of God. And we can take and say in our land today, and that's certainly true. But beloved, once again, I cannot speak for you all's churches. But I don't see much of a prevailing of the Word of God in the midst of churches that I'm familiar with either. When it's time for the cats to play, whew, you wouldn't believe the zeal people got around Kentucky. And I'm not just talking about lost people, I'm talking about church members. But when it comes to the Word of God prevailing in our day, beloved, there's a coldness. And so oftentimes, we will blame, me included, we will blame everything under the sun. We will blame the Republicans. We will blame the Democrats. We will blame boring preachers. We will blame a whole host of things. But the bottom line is, beloved, that it starts here in our own personal hearts. Now, when we consider these things, and we consider that when Christ had called the men as far as being fishermen, and he had called them away from that business, they stood and they simply walked away from it. When he had called Matthew, it was the same thing. Now, what is it, though, with regards back to the church there at Thessalonica, what was it about the people? The Bible says there, notice this with me there in verse number 7, once again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith to God were to spread around, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. In other words, beloved, when this church here in Thessalonica, when they turned away from their idols and they turned to God, you know what? News of that spread abroad. In other words, other churches are hearing, you know what? They had season passes for the Cats game, and one of the Cats games fell on a Sunday, and you know what? They left their season pass on the shelf, and they went to church instead of going to the ball game. Amen. Beloved, news like that is what will fire up other churches. Now, as we consider these things, beloved, and we consider how the Bible says so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. In each of these cases, the people had a good name. They had a good testimony by what they said and did. And the faith of others, it was fired up. But remember back with me in the book of Proverbs chapter that we had read, a good name is rather to be chosen. There is a choice to be made.
Beloved, I'm 100% against decisional regeneration. Your pastor wouldn't let me in the pulpit if I believed that, and I'm 110% against it. I believe that it's led a lot of people into hell, and it's deceived multitudes of people. But when the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen, there is a choice to be made. In each of these cases, the people willingly chose to serve God. The people willingly said, yes, you know what? I've got some idols here, and you know, I'm going to go burn my idols. I will take my idols and I will throw them there on that burn pile and I will burn them. Someone else, they may have been sitting there thinking, I have a lot of money wrapped up in this. I mean, this is kind of my life's history. I have money wrapped up in my books and my curious art. Man, I hate to burn them, but someone else said, well, look at that guy. They just burnt their books. And beloved, revival had broken out. A good name is rather to be chosen. The people there, they chose to turn from idols. They chose to burn their books, beloved. Barnabas, he chose to sell his land. It was not coerced. Beloved, if preachers have to go around and twist people's arms to serve the Lord, then that service is not pleasing in the sight of God. It's not. If preachers have to go around and twist people's arms to get them to read their Bibles, there's something wrong. Beloved, when we think about these things and that choice that is to be made, and once again, it is not that Brent Spears will have a good name. The name of Brent Spears means absolutely nothing. The name of Brother Tom Brawls, it means nothing, beloved, apart from the glory of God. You see, the whole purpose in us being saved and left here upon this earth is that God would receive the glory from our existence of being here. You know, but sometimes I wonder if the reason we don't see revival today is because people are not choosing to have a good name. The reason people don't talk much about our faith hundreds of miles away anymore is because we're not forsaking our idols. But rather, we buy a new one or find a new one every day and add it to our collection. Beloved, we are such a blessed people in our nation. So blessed. And if we're not careful, beloved, we can get all tangled up in the blessings of God. And we lose our focus on the fact that people are perishing and dying and going to a devil's hell. And we've been called to be messengers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Above all else. Beloved, when we consider these things, I wonder, what do people hear about us miles away? Beloved, when others speak of your faith, is it with a negative or a positive tone? When others consider your faith, what you say and how you live, does it encourage or discourage them? Beloved, as the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen. It is a choice that we make. Churches disband because members choose to follow the world instead of Christ. That's the truth. Beloved, we have all heard the horror stories. I personally know of a church that was in Texas, and they wanted to have the janitor's closet on one side and the coat closet on the other side. And they fought, and they fought, and they fought, and they fought over it. And they never could come to a consensus on it. So finally, they just voted to sell the building and disband. Over what side of the building we're going to hang our coats on? Beloved, when things like that enter in, it all stems from an attitude of pride among people. That I should have my way. Good names turn bad because we as individuals, we make them so. Beloved, it would do us well to remember that only we can control our testimony. In other words, people may say negative things about you. But what I mean by that, beloved, is that our passion in our zeal for the Lord, if it is cold and lacking, I can't blame anyone else. The fault for it must rest squarely on my shoulders. You see, beloved, on Judgment Day, there will be no complaint forms or excuse forms submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ there on that day. File out your complaint forms and submit them. Well, Lord, my life was really hard. I really had a hard life. And beloved, I make light of no one who is here this evening that has had a hard life. I do not make light of anyone who's going through hardships in your life. But can any of us say that we have had a harder life than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul? Someone else may take and say, well, I paid a lot of money for that idol. I would have burnt my idol, but I'll tell you what, money was just so tight that day that I didn't want to let go of it. I was just too tired to serve the Lord. Beloved, we just as well do away with our excuses now, because one day we will have none before Him. We live in a world, beloved, and I fear so oftentimes, we live in a world that's plagued with disease. It's plagued by stupidity to the nth degree with regards to our politics. Where those in charge of our government today, they're acting like children. And I'm not saying one side or the other. That's not my job. That's between you and God. But beloved, if there's going to be a light in the United States of America, it must be found in the midst of the Lord's churches. The Lord never called the government of this world to shine the light of the gospel to the lost. Beloved, that is on our responsibilities. I wonder, beloved, when we consider these things, how is our name, how is our testimony before the Lord? I don't know about you folks. There was a man, I don't know if he had preached here, not Dempsey Henderson. You folks ever know Dempsey Henderson, bud? From what I understand, Dempsey Henderson was a man. He is home with the Lord right now, but Dempsey Henderson was a man, and they said every person that he came into contact with, that he would always share the gospel of Christ with them. They said that he would witness to everyone that he came into contact with. Beloved, I ask you folks this evening, did Brother Dempsey have something that we don't? Did he have a double portion of the Spirit of God? Had he read a book, the secret book that caused him to do that? I don't believe so, beloved. He just had a life, beloved, that was sacrificed to the glory of God. Each and every one of us, beloved, we all come into contact with people, many of you on a daily basis. We've bought into a lie from this world wherein the world says the thing that you never talk about in public is religion and politics. Beloved, you will search the Scriptures from cover to cover. You will ever find the Bible say that we shouldn't talk about religion in public. That's a lie out of hell. Beloved, if this world is going to hear a message of hope, they must hear it from us. In so doing, someone said, well, boy, I want a good name. I want a good name. Once again, it's not about us. It's about Christ being glorified in the midst of His people. And it goes back to the choices that we make. As Barnabas made that choice to sell the land, as the people got up and they came forward to burn their idols, beloved. If there's anything in your heart, and I didn't want you folks to feel like, boy, Brother Spears came up here preaching to us like we're cold and backslidden. I know no such thing. You folks have been kind. It's a blessing to hear you all sing out for the glory of God. Truly a blessing. And what a great number to have out here this evening. Beloved, time is short for us. Time is short. May God be glorified through the way that we live our lives. Pastor, if you will come ahead, brother.